And now, welcome to Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Today's Business, only on 1360 WCHL.
This is Sharon Hill, president of Sharon Hill International. Welcome to Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. I'm talking today with Mr. Stephen Ray Miller, owner of Art with Hearts.com. He is both an artist and a picture framer. Stephen Ray Miller's works have been exhibited throughout the United States in more than 75 one-man shows and 40 juried competitions. His creations are part of prominent art collections, including those of Washington Duke, Bank of America, Hilton, Marriott Corporation, PepsiCo, just to name a few. So you can imagine, I'm very honored to have him with us today. Greetings, Stephen Ray Miller.
Hi, Sharon.
Thank you for coming to join us today.
Delighted to be here.
Thank you. Stephen, I introduced you as an artist and a picture framer. Let's start our discussion by talking more about your art. Why is your company called ArtWithHearts.com?
Because I put a little heart, at least one little heart, in each of my paintings.
Why?
Well, it started off as a bit of a marketing ploy, but it's actually developed into something more significant, and it's a kind of a common bond with people. And once they know that they're there, they look for them, and I think it brings them in a little bit closer. And I also feel it's a universal symbol that anybody can relate to.
Do all of your pieces have hearts in them?
For the last 20 years or so, just about every one. Every once in a while, I missed one. Those will be more valuable someday.
Oh, those without the hearts.
Yeah.
Of course. It's like a coin that's got a dent on it or something from manufacture.
That would be right.
Good. All right. Well, Stephen, what qualifies your art to be exhibited in so many prestigious places?
Well, I think my work has a pretty wide appeal, and I think it's also clearly skillful. Mm-hmm. So I don't suffer from that my six-year-old could do this syndrome, which a lot of people feel about modern art. Also, I graduated from the high school that Norman Rockwell dropped out of.
Oh!
Our birthdays are one day apart.
That means something.
I hope so.
Stephen, what inspires you to create your pieces?
Well, there's so many beautiful things to paint, and I enjoy looking at things, and certain things strike me, and that's what I paint. Mostly landscapes, florals, architecture. I'm not good at people portraits.
That was my next question. So if somebody says, you know, you're an artist, I'm going to sit here. Why don't you paint me? What your response would be?
That's not my strong suit. I'm good at bodies in motion and body language.
All right.
Facial portraiture has always been a challenge.
All right. What types of art do you create? Because I know you have a thing called gouache. You do things on glass.
Right.
Tell our audience the variety of art that you create.
Well, I used gouache, which is opaque watercolor, for about 35 years. And those were paintings on dry paper using two coats of paint, so the colors are very saturated and very precise. They're often mistaken for acrylics or silk screens because they're not the washy, blendy type of watercolor that most watercolors paint on wet paper, and I would paint on dry paper. Then about 2 years ago, I started painting acrylics on the backside of glass. And that's been a whole new adventure, including sometimes using multiple layers of glass and stacking them for a 3D effect.
How did you get the idea to do that?
I'm not exactly sure.
It just woke up one morning and stuck with the sunglasses.
I was thinking about trying something different, and that's where I headed.
So tell us about the process, and you put it together, then you sell these. Are those hung in special places as well, your art on glass?
One of them just got in a juried exhibit in Raleigh, but just starting to exhibit those, and I use them for this year's calendar, and they have a great reaction. When you see them in the flesh, that 3D factor is very compelling and intriguing.
Are you the only artist that does this?
I doubt that. There aren't many. Apparently, painting on the backside of glass was fashionable in Paris in the 1890s.
Really?
But I didn't know that when I started.
So you still don't know what inspired you to start doing this on glass?
There were a few factors. One was that I used to use a slide projector to generate the line drawing that would result in a watercolor. And I didn't have a digital projector, because now that everything's digital. So I started thinking about it, and then I realized that I could lay the piece of glass directly on the photo and paint what I saw. So that's kind of how it started. One of the intriguing things is, number one, everything reverses left to right. That's not too big a deal for me, but the big change is whatever you paint first hits the back of the glass and it's there forever. So your earliest work shows up the most, as opposed to a traditional painting where what you see is the latest work, the last layer of paint that you applied. And this is exactly the opposite. So if you do good work on your painting to start with, it will always be there. You also have to sign it backwards and early.
What a concept, because you figured that out.
I learned that one the hard way.
The hard way. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. We've been using the term juried. What does that mean?
That just means that artists submit a variety of works, and a juror, usually somebody, you know, some expert in the art field, makes his opinion and picks what he wants to exhibit. It's incredibly arbitrary, and I have a couple stories I could tell you about that, but
I can imagine.
It's one person's opinion.
It's subjective, and we are.
My feeling is if you get in, you brag about it. If you don't, ignore it.
There we go, because, you know, that's life.
Absolutely.
Stephen, which of your pieces are the most popular?
I think Still Waters, which I painted in 1990 of some boats in Marblehead, Massachusetts, is my most popular, and I just did a new version of that on glass called Boats on Glass that I'm really, really pleased with. I worked on it for about a year and a half. And I think I don't need to paint that scene again.
Year and a half.
I think I'm done.
You are. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's your most popular piece, though.
I think so. It has almost universal appeal. And people love the water. It has some very effective reflections in the water. And there's kind of a calming sense. I once lost a sale to a woman who said it would make her seasick, which I think was the best turn down I've ever had.
Fascinating. Oh, my goodness. Well, who is your audience? How do people find you? How are you known? Because you've got a good background here for where you've got these pieces hung, very prestigious places. How do they find you?
Well, I've been a self-promoting artist for 35 years, and I've traveled extensively, and I've had the good fortune of meeting a lot of wonderful people and their friends. People have had art parties for me over the years all around the country. And my website, artwithhearts.com. Locally, I'm a member of the chamber and involved with a lot of networking groups, and most people don't know a living, breathing artist, so I have a bit of an advantage there in that I have many less competitors than most business people.
Right, right. And that's all you do is your art and your framing, correct?
Art and framing, that's
right.
Correct. Locally, I concentrate on the framing, and nationally, I concentrate on the art.
I didn't know that, because I was going to ask you what's the difference in your in the balance of your work. So locally is art. No, locally is framing.
Yeah.
Nationally is art.
Right.
And these
new glass paintings are combining my skills both as a painter and a framer, because there are certain techniques that go into framing them three-dimensionally and floating the glass. So I'm trying to tap into all my skills and make something that nobody else is doing.
That nobody else is doing. And to the audience, I've seen Stephen's work, and if any of you have seen his work, it is extremely unique, and especially having fun finding the hearts in each piece of the artwork. Stephen, you don't just make one piece and you're off. You mentioned your calendars. What else do you do with the pieces that you create?
Well, I've done probably about 30 limited editions over the years using different methods to reproduce. I started off with silk screens, and then I did offset lithographs, and for the last 10 years or so, I've been doing giclées. And giclée is just a fancy word for a super high resolution digital inkjet print. And you can print those on canvas now. So the technology of reproducing artwork has really gone through a huge transformation in the last decade. Similarly to music, where musicians can now record and distribute their own work themselves, I have that opportunity as well. And I'm trying to combine the old-fashioned notion of making something by hand with some of these newfangled techniques of both reproducing them and spreading them around.
Understand. Let's take a break right now, Stephen. When we get back, I want to hear more about the technology of art, because that's something that's different. You're listening to WCHL 1360 Sharon Hill, and I'm talking with Stephen Ray Miller. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. Once again, here is Sharon Hill.
Welcome back. It's Sharon Hill, WCHL 1360, and we're talking with Stephen Ray Miller. In our last segment, Stephen, you mentioned that technology has changed over the years in artwork. That never occurred to me. I just thought art was art. Can you tell me and our audience, how has technology affected the world of art?
In many, many ways. When I first started, I would reproduce my art as lithographs, where you had to know how many you were going to print, print them all at once, required several thousand dollars, and obviously that was somewhat daunting. Now, in the digital age, you can print things one at a time as you need them. Tremendous difference.
Art on demand.
Relatively art on demand, that's right. And just as in music, musicians can now record their own, record and edit their own music and distribute it. That same possibility exists for artists now with this new Giclée digital inkjet technology. And some of my recent, I'm calling them replicas, are printed on canvas with very permanent pigments. The canvas is then coated with a waterproof UV filtering coating so that the paintings are actually scrubbable. You can actually wash them. They are for
scrubbable?
Scrubbable.
This is...
Yeah, so when your kid splashes ketchup on it,
crazy.
You can wash it.
Are you telling me...
I don't really recommend that.
But, no.
But it's a curious selling point.
So I'm picturing what used to be on a piece of canvas mm-hmm. is now on a different...
No, it can still be on the piece of canvas.
Canvas.
But what's different is it's very affordable to do the reproduction. And then the whole other realm is the ability to show your work either on the web or on Facebook.
Of course.
And I can, like I did recently, photographed a painting in progress and posted it on Facebook, and people could comment. And, you know, I think people enjoy sharing some of that creative experience vicariously by seeing
yes.
what an artist is up to. And for me, to be able to finish a painting and 15 minutes later share it with the world is incredibly exciting.
And you mentioned share it with the world. Do you have, by any chance, people from overseas contacting you to purchase your
occasionally,
art?
Occasionally. And that's a thrill.
I can imagine.
That's really a thrill.
Once again, look how technology has changed things.
That's exactly
you
right.
You finish it 15 minutes later, someone in France can see it, for
that's
example.
That's exactly right.
I
now,
love it.
There's also, in essence, a downside of the technology in the visual arts in that most everybody is familiar with taking a photograph and then manipulating it on Photoshop, and in less than 5 minutes, you can have something that looks like a painting.
Oh.
And I will even defend it to say many of these creations are beautiful. But what I'm trying to set myself apart is that I'm doing this by hand.
By
and
hand.
Everything I do is by hand.
Now, you mentioned it took a year and a half to do the Seas.
Yeah, Boats on Glass.
Boats on Glass.
Yeah.
So how long does it take for you to create your each original piece?
It really varies, and I've never really kept too careful account on it because I think it might be depressing.
That's how much time
kind
you spent.
Kind of like a Weaver or Potter right. making $2 an hour.
And spent a year putting this piece
yeah.
together.
But also, if I know something's going to be reproduced as a limited edition print, I'm more encouraged to really spend a lot of time getting it right. And it's easier to put more effort into the original, knowing that will be shared.
What inspires you to create many of your pieces? I know that you went to Duke University,
yes,
even
I
though
did.
We're in Chapel Hill country.
The dark blue.
Right. And that you have pieces in, I already mentioned the Washington Duke, but I read that on your website that you're familiar with the Inn, the golf course, the Sarah P. Duke Gardens, and the Duke Chapel. Have you used those in your work as well? And what inspires you to do things over and above what you saw at Duke?
Well, there are lots of beautiful things to paint. That doesn't seem to be a shortage. And I've also enjoyed over the years looking at friends' travel photos. So I've done paintings of Venice and Fiji and Kenya and all sorts of places that I haven't been.
From their photos?
From their photos, yeah. And I've done a lot of commission paintings that way.
Oh, okay. So people can commission you.
Absolutely.
My goodness. And when they commission you, tell folks while we're talking about commissioning you, how they can get in touch with you.
Best way to reach me is my website, which is artwithhearts.com, artwithhearts.com.
Very good. Right.
Or my phone, which I almost always answer, 919-210-5140.
Say that one more time in case somebody wants to write it down.
919-210-5140.
Got it. So I noticed that you describe yourself as a not-so-starving artist. Tell us why.
Well, because I'm well-fed and well-taken care of. I've also described myself as a recovering nonprofit, which speaks more to the economic challenges of
yes.
being a self-promoting artist.
Yes. Well, that's rare.
It's very
because
rare.
Most artists are starving artists, unless they're onto the technology bit and can mass produce things. And
well, I've really taken on a big challenge of not only creating art that hasn't been done before, but also actually making it ready for the marketplace and selling it. So I'm really trying to make trying to make art history and business history at the same time.
As you, is there any competitor in the Chapel Hill or Orange County area who does anything close to what you do? You consider to be a competitor?
I don't really consider other artists to be competitors, no. I think there's plenty of wall space, and we all have a great way of expressing ourselves. And, mm-hmm. I like to encourage other artists and can also gain insights from them. Specifically, I don't know anybody else doing the type of work that I do, partially because I don't think many people have the patience. It's very, you know, time-consuming and deliberate to do what I do.
Got it.
As a picture framer that makes house calls, I'm quite sure I have no competitors in the area.
So we're going to talk about your picture framing business as well. So we talked about art, which you say you do on a national level.
Correct.
Whereas the picture framing, you tend to do more on a local level.
That's right.
Let's talk about that for a while. Tell us about your picture framing, the picture framing side of you. What makes you special?
Well, I call my business Have Frame Chapel Travel. And what makes me different is I make house calls to your home or office. This gives you the advantage that we can absolutely come up with a good match for your decor because we're right there on the spot. I have the mat board and molding samples right there. And also it saves you two trips to the frame shop, which is worth something.
And you also say that your prices can be more competitive than some of the big frame shoppers who offer supposed discounts.
Yes, the unnamed big box stores with their 50%
discounts. 50% discount.
They're not really a great bargain. I will put both my workmanship and my materials up against them anytime. Plus, I've been framing about twice as long as most of those employees have been alive.
Oh, boy. That's a statement.
It is a statement.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I know when you've done some work for me, you talk about the glass, you talk about the sun reflecting on the glass, and just give us some of the perks that you have that you can tell your customers about when they're trying to get something framed in a quality way.
Well, there have been some terrific improvements in conservation materials in the last 20 years. The two most specific, one you mentioned, is glass with a UV coating. It's a clear coating that will deflect the UV rays that tend to fade things. And UV rays come from fluorescent bulbs as well as the sun. And over time, it will fade artwork. You might not notice it short term, but over time it absolutely will. So that's great protection. There's also now a much wider variety of acid-free mat boards to protect your work as well. It used to be you could get it in white, ivory, black, or gray. Now there's hundreds of colors you can choose from. And a mat board is not only a visual benefit for your artwork, but it also puts a space between the artwork and the glass.
Right.
You don't really
right.
want the glass right. to touch the artwork, particularly in the humid south, because over time moisture can get in there and it can do damage, especially for photographs. Over time your photograph emulsion can transfer to the glass and you don't want that to happen. The important thing to remember about framing is if you do it right, you can just do it once, and it will last for generations. You can frame something, and your grandkids can enjoy it. And there aren't many things that you can say that about.
I can imagine.
I'm particularly helpful for the frame shop phobic, for people who just never get around to going to the frame shop. And also, there's another group of people who just can't drive a nail in their wall to hang a picture.
I know some.
I can come in and
yes.
take care of that.
Oh, my. Yeah. Let's talk about that when we come back, because I thought I was the only person who knew people who were, what's that term you use?
Frame
shop phobic.
Yes.
I know a couple who bought at least 7 pieces of art, yet none of those art pieces are hung because he doesn't want to put a nail in the wall. I thought I was the only person who knew that.
No.
You just think it's a bunch of people out there who are like that. All right. Well, let's talk some more when we come back, Stephen. It's time for our commercial break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Stephen Ray Miller, owner of ArtWithHearts.com. Thanks for listening to Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. This is Sharon Hill.
You're listening to Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. Once again, here is Sharon Hill.
Welcome back. This is Sharon Hill, having a fascinating conversation with my friend Stephen Ray Miller, owner of ArtWithHearts.com. Stephen, let's go back to something you said earlier. You mentioned that the sunlight and fluorescent lights can fade artwork. How long does it take to fade? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 1 year? How long does it take to fade?
Well, it depends largely on how strong the light is and what is fading. Certain watercolors can fade quickly. Inexpensive printing can fade quickly. It really depends. And it's something that you often won't notice because it happens slowly. but you want to keep your artwork out of direct sunlight, ideally. You also don't want it to be in a high humidity zone, so don't put valuable artwork in your bathroom if it has a functioning shower, because over time, the humidity can cause problems as well.
Would it cause the artwork to buckle, or?
It can cause it to buckle. In a worst-case scenario, mold will grow.
Mold?
Yes.
Not good.
No, and we have, you know, issues with mildew in the South.
My goodness.
Really,
I never thought of it.
That.
Well, Stephen, if someone is listening to us right now and says, my goodness, I've had this in my bathroom. I need to have it reframed. Is it possible to have a piece of artwork reframed?
Oh, absolutely. And we can certainly arrest any damage that's happened so far. And a lot of people had, you know, pictures framed when shag rugs were popular.
Shag rugs!
They might want to change a few things. And
yes.
As I said before, there are really so many good conservation options available now that it's a wonderful thing to do. And then you put it under UV glass and it's protected and you can pass it on to your grandkids.
Is art like fashion, that over time things change? For example, we mentioned the colors of the mat. Are there certain things that can change over time that may cause people to want to have their artwork reframed?
Yes, certainly. Home decor. And yet, in another fashion comparison, a good black dress will always be a good black dress.
Yes.
So I think if you frame a piece in a fairly classic style, it will still look good. And my main advice also is always put the artwork in the best frame you can for the artwork, because that artwork will always be in that frame. It may not always be in your living room with the taupe-colored wall.
There we are.
But the artwork will always be in that frame, and that should be your first consideration, really.
What other facts can you give or suggestions can you give our audience when it comes to framing? You talked about the colors. You talked about where to hang them. You talked about the fluorescent light versus the sunlight. Are there any other tips, one or more, that folks just need to know about framing?
Mainly just that, you know, it really adds a comfortable feeling to your home or office to have some artwork on the walls that you enjoy looking at, whether it's something that your kid did or a photo from your travels or something that somebody gave to you. We've been decorating our walls as long as we've been doing it, way back to the cave.
I believe it.
It's a deep instinct.
Yes.
And I also think it's a way to personalize your world. The things that you care about.
And speaking about personalizing our world, have you ever had a customer who wants a certain look around the mat, the color, the frame, everything, which you think is atrocious? Have you ever had to talk somebody out of what they think is beauty? Well, if they think it's beauty, to them it is beauty. But have you tried to tell them it'd be better framed, it'd look better if you did this instead of what you're suggesting? How do you handle that?
Well, any salesperson, you know, how do I look in this dress?
You look, darling, you look gorgeous.
The way I approach it is I'm pretty insistent on using the proper materials and methods so that you protect your artwork. That I'm dogmatic about and strongly encourage that. But frankly, ultimately, whether you want a red mat or a blue mat, that's up to you, and you're going to be living with it. So if you like red instead of blue, even if I like blue better, so be it. It's very subjective. There are obviously some rules of thumb that apply, but I will ultimately defer to the client because I want them to be happy with the choices they've made.
So I'm hearing you say the customer's always right in terms of the colors, but the materials, that's
the,
where
the
you...
The materials and the methods, I will definitely make suggestions.
Got it. As you talk about your business, I hear such a passion for art. What is your mission? What is your philosophy when it comes to owning your business, Stephen?
Well, I am blessed that I really enjoy what I do. And as challenging as it is, it's very exciting, and both in terms of art and framing, at the end of the day, I've created something that didn't exist at the beginning of the day. And I've come to realize that I really like making things with my hands. As simple as that. Whether it's my own painting or a frame for a customer, at the end of the day, I've made something. And not many people get to make anything by hand anymore.
That's true.
And I'm really grateful that I have that opportunity.
Well, Stephen, tell us about yourself now. Now that we know your passion is art, and I'm assuming it's the only job you've ever had. Is that true?
Yes. And my last predictable paycheck was 1978.
Hello.
When I stopped working for the South Carolina Arts Commission.
And still, there's art in there. It's still a different venue.
At 19, I decided I wanted to become an artist, and that's all I've done for 40 years.
Fascinating. For over 40 years.
Got it. We're getting there.
Yeah, all right. I got it. All right. Tell us about yourself. What brought you over to North Carolina, to Orange County, to Chapel Hill?
Well, I first came to Duke in 1969, and I actually graduated with 2 degrees,
Studio
Art and Psychology, 2 majors, actually, not degrees. And then I went to work for the South Carolina Arts Commission, and I lived in Los Angeles for 7 years, and then I came back in 1993 for my 20th reunion, and I've been here ever since.
I like it. What took you to Duke? Are you from a New York person?
I am from New York.
All right. So how'd you get from New York to Duke? Why Duke?
Well, both my father had gone and my brother was there, and I liked it. I had no idea I was going to be an artist. If I had known I was going to be an artist, I would have gone somewhere else. The art department at Duke is almost non-existent, which actually was a blessing for me because I didn't have to submit any kind of portfolio in order to register for the classes.
So that worked out.
That worked out just great. And I've been pretty much self-taught and self-motivated, so it didn't really matter where my degree was from. And
right.
One advantage as an artist is that I can show somebody what I do in 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
It's not like, you know, can I read you my poem?
Right,
or would
right.
you read the first chapter of
my book?
I'm a professional show-off. I can show somebody very quickly what I do, and most people are reasonably interested.
And it speaks for itself.
It does speak for itself.
And yes. The fact that you have a brand, I'd call it, by having the hearts somewhere in there. Some of the fun we have is how many hearts can you find in Stephen's last artwork that you bring into the Chapel Hill Leeds Group, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you decide to settle in this area, even though I know you went to Duke, but why did you decide to stay in North Carolina?
Well, in 1993, I met my wife, and I was eager to leave Los Angeles, and coming back to Durham was a great move.
Coming back, right. Where are your pictures hung in Chapel Hill area, if I want to tell somebody where to find you?
I have a few on display at the Chapel Hill Chamber, Nantucket Cafe.
Both Nantucket cafes?
No, the one near 54 and 40.
Got it. All right.
Right next to the Harrington Bank.
Yes.
And I have exhibits at restaurants occasionally. Lots of fine private collections in the area.
Just
about everybody in the Chapel Hill Leeds Group has at least one of my pictures.
Or a calendar, or
that's right.
We are.
Yeah.
My goodness. Tell us about that calendar, because this year you made it different than you do usually.
This year I did both a wall calendar, a year at a glance,
mm-hmm.
and the CD jewel case calendar, a month at a time, which I've
yes.
been doing for several years. And it got a good response. Well, what was different this year was I did all the paintings during the course of the year for that year's calendar, and they're all glass paintings as opposed to the watercolors from the past.
Right,
so the calendar has a little more cohesion.
Got it.
And the reproduction was fabulous. And it's a useful gift,
mm-hmm.
and also something that you need to buy more than once. One of the problems with selling art is that there's no real itch cycle. If you're in sales, if you sell refrigerators, you know that every 6 or 7 years you can call on your clients and say, hey, don't you need a new refrigerator?
Right.
Well,
but with
it's
art.
Been my good fortune that almost every piece of art that I've sold is still hanging in the place where it was first hung, back to that driving nails.
Yes! So, Stephen, tell us more about people who have your artwork.
Well, I've been blessed to meet a lot of wonderful people who have bought my work all around the country, and it's beneficial for me to have a personal connection with most of my collectors.
The joy of knowing that you have something that is perpetual, that your art will last forever, unlike refrigerators, and then they have to be replaced every 7 to 8 years. That makes you rather immortal, I'd say.
Somebody once said that if Martians come to visit the planet, they'll find some of my artwork.
I love it.
I think I've got that covered.
I've got that covered.
I hope so.
Well, on that note, let's take another commercial break. This is Sharon Hill, 1360 WCHL, talking to Stephen Ray Miller of ArtWithHearts.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Today's Business on 1360 WCHL. Once again, here is Sharon Hill.
Welcome back. This is Sharon Hill for our fourth segment. This is Sharon Hill talking with the lovely Stephen Ray Miller of ArtWithHearts.com. Stephen has told us and educated us on how art has changed thanks to technology, but how he loves the fact that everything he does is by hand. And he's given us some tips for framing and things we need to be careful with in terms of where we hang our paintings, out of direct sunlight, not near the bathroom. Very informational. But now let's switch over and talk about Chapel Hill. I know that you're a member of the Chapel Hill Chamber of Commerce, aren't you, Stephen?
Yes. For many years, I was the only artist. Recently, another artist has joined, which is great. As we spoke about earlier, I'm a self-promoting artist, so it's very beneficial for me to be an active member of the chamber.
What's the value of the chamber to your business, Stephen?
Oh, it's been fabulous. I've made a lot of personal friendships and a tremendous amount of business, particularly for the frame shop. When I explain that I make house calls, people's eyes light up and they go, oh, I have something that needs to be framed, and that works.
Do you find a lot of people have, as I did, the rolls of pictures in the rolls that have just never been framed?
And pictures in the tube are one of my very best opportunities. And it's a relatively easy presentation to tell somebody, well, wouldn't you rather see that on your wall than be in the tube? And
yes.
Once they get over that hump and make that decision, it goes real well.
Do you find that most want to go to the unnamed large frame shop in which they can get 50% off, thinking they're going to save money as opposed to using you?
Well, once they know about me, my odds are very, very good. And those 50% coupons are kind of misleading, because 50% off what?
Exactly.
And as I mentioned earlier, I offer a lot of advantages from what I do.
It kind of reminds me of some of the stores who say, we're going out of business, everything 30% off, and then you realize they've raised the price by 30% on everything in the store.
Precisely.
So what a ripoff. And I've been victimized by that, too, thinking, wow, I've really got a deal, until I realize, wait a minute, this is no deal.
Well, as I said before, the great thing about framing is it's a one-time expense. There's really, oh, here's one more tip. When you clean your glass on your picture, don't spray right onto the glass while it's hanging on the wall, because the cleaning solution will drip down and soak your mat.
I did not know that.
Do not do that. Spray your cloth and then wipe, or take the picture off and lay it flat.
Flat.
Yeah.
Helpful. What would you suggest for cleaning the frame?
Just dust it.
Just dust it. Yeah. Don't put polish or anything like that on necessarily.
It depends, but generally just a dusting will do.
Good. Because I imagine stuff can drip down as well from polishing on the frame. Might seep into the glass if you do it wrong.
Right. But most frames are already finished well, and all you need is a little bit of dust. And, of course, it's the top edge that we don't see where the dust grows.
Of course. I'm still back on the mold and on the walls in the bathroom. Holy smokes. Stephen, I understand that you're also a member of the Chapel Hill Leads Group that meets every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning in Chapel Hill. Tell us how that has helped your business.
It's been fantastic, both for my business and my personal life. We've been meeting for over a decade every Wednesday morning, and it's a great group of people. And when you spend time with somebody every week, you get to know them over time. Even just in little 30-second snippets, you still get to know. That's how you and I met, for example.
As a matter of fact.
And it's a great group. There's a lot of support. We have a tremendous variety of businesses represented. And we also allow competitors, which many leads groups don't. So the door is open. And I'd love for people to come meet us.
Let's put in another plug for the Chapel Hill Leads Group. You mentioned you were a founding member.
Yes.
What made you decide, you and Lee Shearer, mm-hmm. to form the Chapel Hill Leads Group all those many years ago?
Well, it was suggested by a fellow named Bob Hopkins, who's kind of, in Wikipedia, if there's a picture of a networker, it should be Bob.
Bob Hopkins.
And we started the group, and it was very small for a very long time. And then after a year or two of staying small, somehow we just caught fire. And that was also, we strengthened our relationship with the Chapel Hill Chamber, which has been a great source of members for us, and we in turn have been a source of members for the Chamber. So that's been a fabulous relationship.
And all these years, it's going stronger and getting larger and more relationships?
Yeah, we're not quite as many attendees as we were. At one point, we were averaging 100 people. That was crazy. But 70 people is a great meeting.
Yes.
And I look forward to it every week.
And we like to say that the Chapel Hill Leads Group has spawned so many other leads groups around the triangle.
That's true. We've been an impetus for about another dozen groups all around, following that same basic format. You get 30 seconds to talk about what you do, and we have one 10-minute speaker, and
no dues.
No yearly dues. You pay when you come.
Right.
That's right. And no attendance requirements. Obviously, you benefit by attending more, but we're a little bit looser than some of the other groups, which has some advantages, I believe.
I think that's what keeps the team going stronger. We don't have to worry about some of the restrictions that some groups have.
Right.
Before we go any further, Stephen, tell us how to contact you, please, with your telephone number and your website.
Sure. My phone is 919-210-5140, and my website is artwithhearts.com.
And your phone number again, please.
919-210-5140.
Got it. Thank you. Stephen, I'm looking down the road and say 100 years from now, if anyone owns a piece of artwork created by Stephen Ray Miller, would you say that'd be a valuable piece of art?
I certainly hope so, Sharon. If there's any version of Antiques Roadshow still going on, then I hope somebody will bring a calendar out and say, look what I've got.
There we are.
The truth is, particularly the first few years of the calendars, there were not very many of them made, so they should be extremely collectible.
Good. So if someone has a calendar, hold on to it if it's a Stephen Ray Miller original.
Absolutely.
Got it. Tell us what you do for the Chapel Hill community.
Well, I'm an active member of the Chamber, and I contribute artwork to just about every charity auction that has ever requested it. I have lots of artwork. I don't have a whole lot of money in my checking account. I'm happy to donate artwork whenever I can.
But you're not starving.
I am not starving.
Good.
No. I'm blessed not to be starving.
Good.
And I try and be as involved as I can. One of the things I love about the Chapel Hill Leeds Group is so many of our members are involved in so many worthwhile causes. And through our weekly meetings, you get to know about them. And I think as a group, we really do make a difference in our community. And I'm delighted with that.
Yes. The meeting is the highlight of so many people's weeks. It's amazing how when someone gets sick or someone's parent dies or whatever, we pass the bag around just to take up a collection. We all sign a card. Relationship marketing is really the term I use for the Chapel Hill Leeds Group.
Absolutely.
Because even if I don't sell anything there within 3 or 4 weeks, months, whatever, I still know who I can go to for certain needs. I know who to go to for my art. Stephen has done a lot of my framing. I'm talking to your audience now, and I'm delighted with everything Stephen does. It is high quality, first class, and cost effective compared to other places, may I add, even without a coupon. I thank you for that, Stephen. In the last few seconds, please put a plug in for your lovely son, Eli.
Well, Sharon, you, like almost every female on the planet, seems to be attracted to my son, Eli. He's doing great, and I think he's going to make some contribution in the world of math and science someday.
Math and science?
Yeah.
Isn't that the antithesis of art and framing?
Somewhat, but that was also my background, too. And he's very, very smart, and I look forward to seeing what he contributes to the world.
So you started off as math and art in your early salad years?
Yes.
And then switched over to artwork?
Yes. The highlight of my academic career was getting an 800 on the chemistry achievement test.
Amazing. Stephen, you are a joy. If you haven't met Stephen Ray Miller, please stop by, give him a call, check his website, talk to Stephen Ray Miller, come to the Chapel Hill Leeds Group. You'll be amazed at all you have to learn from him. Stephen, thank you so much for visiting and talking with me today. You've given our audience a lot of education about the world of art. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening to 1360 WCHL. This has been Sharon Hill talking with Stephen Ray Miller, Art with Hearts, on 1360 WCHL, Today's Business.